Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Along with diversity and equity, inclusion is all the rage these days. We may so quickly overreact to extreme calls for inclusion that we do not ever appropriately react to legitimate cases of people's wrongly being excluded from rights, opportunities, and resources that are normally available to others, and so people's wrongly being excluded from fully participating in society, such as in the areas of food and clothing. Of course, some calls for inclusion ignore what we might say are both legitimate distinctions between groups and appropriate inclusion and exclusion of people from certain groups. For example, a trans woman can be included in the group of those promoting a certain light beer or a certain line of women's undergarments, but women's sports leagues should be able to exclude trans women from women's competition in their leagues on the basis of their God-given sex. Similarly, all people generally should be free to exercise their religion. But contrary to some people pushing inclusion today, religious groups should be able to exclude from their associations those who do not share their religious beliefs and practices. Such religious inclusion and exclusion arguably is in play in today's gospel reading. And this morning we consider today's gospel reading, directing our thoughts to the theme, religious inclusion is through confession and forgiveness. Today's gospel reading begins on the evening of the day of the resurrection of our Lord, with Jesus' disciples gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. That fear of the Jews is probably fear of the Jewish leaders and those under their influence, who could include and exclude others, rightly or wrongly, from the synagogues and other religious practices, who had handed over Jesus to the Romans to be crucified, and who later stoned Stephen to death themselves. Even though gospel readings shut doors and implicit keys bring to mind religious inclusion and exclusion, as Jesus previously had condemned the Jewish leaders for shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for taking away the key of knowledge, for neither entering themselves nor allowing those who would enter to go in. And Jesus taught about his own ultimately shutting a door, including inside the repentant believers, but excluding outside the unrepentant unbelievers, even those who wrongly thought that they somehow were associated with him. Even if we do not join mass media or social media cries for diversity, equity, and inclusion, we are not immune to such concerns. Likes or unlikes or even dislikes of what we might post on social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok may change our moods. On some level, we all want to be liked and included in our own families and friend groups, in our church, in our school or workplace. We may fear our being disliked and excluded from certain family gatherings and friend outings, from meetings and the sacrament of the altar, from clubs and other activities. We may rightly want to include everyone in the church, but we may wrongly not be willing to exclude even those who do not share our religious beliefs and practices, and those who do not repent and believe. Of course, when it comes to the church on earth and in heaven, we all deserve to be excluded on account of our sinful nature and all of our actual sin. We all deserve death here and now and torment in hell for eternity, unless we repent and believe. As today's gospel reading makes clear, religious inclusion is through confession and forgiveness. In today's gospel reading, miraculously, Jesus came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And having said that, Jesus showed his disciples his nail-marked hands and his spear-pierced side, scars from his winning their peace, your peace, my peace, and all people's peace with God. Scars that also confirmed that he was the same Jesus once crucified but now resurrected. His crucifixion was for us, in our place. The resurrection itself, in part, declared that God the Father accepted his Son Jesus' sacrifice as payment for our sins, and so also that the world was objectively restored to a right relationship with the Father and at peace with him. Having convinced his disciples that he was resurrected, Jesus not only reiterated peace to his disciples, but also, as promised, Jesus sent his disciples with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the authority to include sinners in that kingdom through confession and forgiveness, and to exclude sinners from that kingdom, not by withholding forgiveness, as the English Standard Version that we heard read paraphrases, but more literally by retaining their sins. So as the disciples were glad having seen the Lord, having received his peace, so also when the Holy Spirit leads us to repent and believe and to receive the Father's forgiveness through his means of grace, then we are at peace with the Father for Jesus' sake and are glad. But the divinely inspired St. John says in today's gospel reading about his gospel account, arguably can be said of all of Holy Scripture, which it indirectly describes itself as. Its purpose is that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, have life in his name. Most of us know that we first believed and had life when, as today's epistle reading described, God the Father, according to his great mercy, in the water and word of our baptisms, caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we who are so baptized privately confess our sins, we receive, by the Holy Spirit ordained pastor's touch and word, the great gift of individual absolution, which in part has its basis in today's gospel reading. And so absolved, we are admitted to the sacrament of the altar, where bread is the body of Christ given for us, and wine is the blood of Christ shed for us. And so it expresses and affects our religious inclusion through our confession and his forgiveness. Not the Jews' authority or the Romans' authority, but Christ's authority, exercised by his apostles and their successors for the benefit of his church, is the authority that matters. Already in the gospel reading, arguably as a first exercise of their ministry, the apostles seemingly immediately told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, though he quite skeptically refused to believe them. And 8 days after the resurrection, by the Jewish inclusion counting the method, their method of counting the days, the disciples were inside again, but no fear of the Jewish authority is mentioned that time. And then, miraculously, Jesus comes and brings Thomas to confess him as Lord and God. And later, after Pentecost, as we heard in the first reading, the apostles openly refused to obey the Jewish authority over God's authority. We likewise obey God's authority and do not fear any human authority, whether those human authorities might exclude us or even put us to death. We are willing to exclude those who do not share our religious beliefs and practices and those who do not repent and believe. We look forward to the diversity of heaven and to God's equity or righteousness there. Our religious inclusion is through confession and forgiveness. The resurrected Jesus, through his ministers, gives us his peace. By faith in Christ, we have life in God's name. And as the epistle reading said, though we may be grieved by various trials, we rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.